Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Corey, aka Bayou Benders, alongside Mason Dixon, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. Welcome back, folks, to another episode of Habs Nightly. Unfortunately, Mason is not going to be able to make it tonight. He has midterms going on right now. We all know how important that is. So tonight we have a very special guest, a former guy who was on the show. We're going to bring on one of the most notorious Habs fanatics on Twitter, the at Caulfield Habs 2. We're talking about Michael of We the North. How are you, bud?
Doing great, you know, outside of like a little cold, you know, it's been a cool few weeks. You know, I can't blame Mason for not being on here. You know, I had midterms last week and it took all the energy out of me. So, you know what, Mason, if you're listening to this, good luck with everything. You know, I feel you. But yeah, how are you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I wish it was colder down here. Louisiana is like, it's not. You know, peak fall weather down here, the trees and shit are dying, but it was a 95 degree day with high humidity.
95.
It was disgusting. So like, you know, you guys just had Thanksgiving.
For us,
which it's funny because for us, Thanksgiving's like the first true week of fall, even though it's like late in the fall for us. We'll get one good week of cool weather and it's normally on Thanksgiving. But yeah, I'm sorry you're a little under the weather. And, man, I hope you passed your tests and stuff like that last week. I don't envy you guys at all anymore.
Yeah, you shouldn't. You shouldn't, man. Like, I studied my ass off, so, you know, hopefully I passed at least. That's not the goal, though. You know, I want to have the best grades possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a better mindset than I had in college.
Yeah, obviously. Like, you know what? It's not too cold in Montreal right now. Like, today it was 20 degrees, I think. Mm-hmm. Which is actually decent. It's just, I don't know, like a lot of people have been having colds lately for some weird reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. It's weird. But yeah, I'm excited. You know, the season's starting today. Montreal, Toronto, you know, usually I'd be more excited for that matchup, but we've played them so many times, man, lately. Like, I'm just looking forward to having Habs Bruins.
Right. I'm not going to lie. I actually saw that was one of the a common tweet I saw today on Twitter was people saying, like, you know, does anybody, like, we're hyped, but does anybody just feel not as hyped as they should? And you know, maybe that has something to do with it. You know,
it's just Toronto.
This legacy, this rivalry has been really thrown down our necks for so long at this point.
I think a lot of it is, you know, just last year, you know, you had the Canadian division. So obviously there was going to be a rivalry there. And both fan bases couldn't really have bragging rights on one another, you know, because they hadn't met in a playoff series in like since 79. And then, you know, Montreal came back from 3-1 in the playoffs last year. And well, now you have bragging rights. Leafs fans are quieter. So I think that has a lot to do with it. But yeah, we played them 10 times in regular season, 7 times in the playoffs, and had like 3 preseason games against them.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to playing the American teams, to be honest with you.
Which I can understand. Yeah. I can't.
Yeah.
That's a valid point. You know, you played the Canadians 56 games last year. We played Toronto an extra 7 games, and then the preseason is 3 games of Toronto. What it was like two Ottawa, something like that. So it's, I guess for y'all, it's like super saturated in just, you know, Canadian games. You want to play some US teams, and truthfully, I'm excited for that too. This Atlantic division is getting really strong with like the likes of Florida getting just beefed out as they can. So I'm super excited to see how we're going to stack up against that. But before we get into game one and how Montreal is feeling about, you know, the season being back, Nick Suzuki, we had some big news. I think everyone has a bit of relief. You know, he signs an 8-year contract. It's like a $63 million. I think he's making 7.87.
Yeah, 7.875
annual. So, I mean, we got this kid till 2029, and, you know.
So he's 30 years old, man.
Man, it's insane. It is truly insane. I think tonight his mom's doing like a live watch party, like she's gonna answer questions. She's a saint. Just so anyone who doesn't know about his mom, Amanda Suzuki, she's amazing. But
She's so supportive. Like, on Twitter, if you're not following her, follow her. she's great.
But you know, so with what happened to KK, you know, this was something that I really wanted to happen. We had spoke about it previously on an episode of how, you know, it was very important that we don't let Nick Suzuki get to a point where offer sheets start flying in. Just so happy that we were able to ink this up way ahead of time. And then this is a great time to, opinion, because it's like you're giving this kid the keys, the reins to take on that first line. And now he's going into game one, you know, not having to worry about where he's going to be next year or anything like that. He's, you know, can be completely focused to it. And I guess my question is how do you feel about this? Are you a Nick Suzuki fan? You've blown my mind in the past before. So, you know.
Well, I am a huge Nick Suzuki fan. I think.
Thank God.
And I think this deal is going to age like fine wine. I've seen a lot of, you know, different opinions on this deal, you know, because people bring up the fact that he hasn't scored more than 41 points in the season. Well, first of all, he had 41 in 56 games last season, which would put him at a 60-point pace during an 82-game season. And also, you know, you can't forget the fact that he is excellent defensively for a forward. Like, I think in his prime, he's going to be in Selke conversations consistently, I think. And as far as this deal goes, you know, like, it goes until he's 30 years old, obviously, so that he's still going to be in his prime probably with the way he plays, with how smart he is. Like, honestly, he has one of the best hockey IQs in the game, in my opinion. I think he's going to age really well. And I think, you know, you can expect 70, like 65, in between 65 and 80 points a season from Suzuki, you know, with very good defense. So getting him locked up, getting a number one center locked up at 7.8 million, you know, especially with the cap going up in a few years, I think that's going to be a steal. When you look at the other good to very good number one centers in the game, you know, they're all making like over 8 million, you know, like, and I think this deal is going to be a bargain in 2-3 years.
I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, you're talking about his defensive abilities and, you know, truly becoming at a very young age too, just a great two-way forward. I remember last year, one of these, you know, NHL analytical guys, one of the guys that's on television and stuff like that, was saying, you know, we're seeing like, you know, just mild, you know, spurts of maybe like a young Patrice Bergeron. And then like, I'm just excited as shit. You know, I thought that Philip Deneau was a very, very amazing two-way forward. I think Nick Suzuki is going to be a step ahead because we just see so much from him now.
Personally, you know, I think like in terms of the Bergeron comparison, I can see it. I don't think Suzuki's going to be as good as Bergeron defensively because, you know, Bergeron's, you know, the best two-way player of all time, you know, let's be honest. And I will say, though, I think Suzuki has more offensive potential than Bergeron has. You know, Bergeron obviously is playing with Martian and Pasternak, so his numbers are going to be kind of inflated.
Right.
I think, you know, if you were to put Suzuki, like prime Suzuki, you know, like what I think he'll become, in between those two guys, Suzuki could put up like 90, maybe 100 points between those two.
Right.
And he's going to have confidence, you know, as a winger. So, you know, that's definitely not going to hurt.
And hopefully, you know, nothing messes that up. And we get to just see, you know, a good half a decade of just those two's dynamic get better and better every season together.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of the best duos in the league. Personally, I think, you know, we talk about Suzuki being that, you know, potential 70, 80 point guy. I think Caulfield in his best year could score 50 goals in his best. I think
absolutely.
Like, usually, I think he's gonna like really like get us used to like 35 to like 55 goal seasons, really, maybe 30, 45, you know, and I think that's great production, you know, and but I think like maybe one or two seasons he might break the 50 goal barrier.
I love the optimism. I think it's possible to.
I'm very bullish on Caulfield. Like I've been like on his bandwagon since before he was drafted by the Habs. Like I think actually a year before he was drafted by Montreal, I watched this kid play and I'm like, oh my God, this kid's going to be special. You know, if Montreal has like the chance to select him, like he could legitimately be our most dangerous forward, like in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And things are shaping up that way.
Yeah. I'd love to see this kid's career just go as far as we want it and start to rival some of the, you know, the late or still living, you know, legends of the Habs alumni. But I guess moving forward, you know, right before game one, sadly, me and Mason have been really riding the coattails of Ryan Poehling. He made it so far into, you know, the finalized roster, and to see him get sent down, right before practice today, he's going back to Laval. I think truthfully he's going to dominate in Laval. I think it proved last year, not just because the team was just on a tear. I just think that he is like at a point in the AHL where it's almost becoming a little too easy for him. And it's just a shame that he doesn't get a chance to come up. But, you know, we wanted to know what your take was on this about Ryan getting set down. And I'm a bit upset. I wanted to see him in the roster tonight.
Personally, I'm a big believer in, you know, meritocracy, you know, when it comes to teams. And I don't think Poehling deserved to make it. Although I will say this, okay, I think Poehling deserved to make it over Paquette because, look, personally, I think Paquette is awful. I don't think he's going to – I think he's barely a fringe AHLer, if I'm being honest with you.
I love it.
I'm not a fan of him at all, you know, so I think Poehling, you know, definitely would have been a better option than him. But now, you know, with Adam Brooks being picked up, Adam Brooks is a very solid fourth line center, by the way, 8 points in 18 career games, you know, solid defensive analytics. I think with Brooks being picked up, I don't think Poehling's going to see the ice unless one of the centers gets injured.
Right. Okay.
And I'm fine with that because I don't think he showed out at all during camp. I think guys like Harvey Pinard.
Yes.
I think a guy like him, I think he deserves like a call up before Ryan Poehling does.
Okay. Dude. No, I like that. I like that. All right.
Maybe a hot take, but you know, Harvey Pinard like played his tail off every preseason game, you know? So I think he's, you know, even a guy like Belzile.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a fan of Belzile, but you know, he brings that every night, you know, in terms of like his work ethic. And even a guy like Jesse Ylönen, I think is like, he brings a lot more to the table than Poehling.
Okay.
You know, his speed, his skill. He also has that, like that he's very like when he has the puck on his stick, it's like magnetic, you know, the puck just sticks to his stick every time. And he skates like Paul Byron at the same time. It's insane.
That's a great comparison.
Yeah, I like this package. I'm not comparing to Byron because I think he's a lot more skilled than Byron, but just in terms of his like speed, I'd compare him to Byron. Although I think he's more like agile on his feet. But yeah.
Okay, is Ylönen the one that that was not gonna get the vaccines? Okay. So
I'm against that, obviously, but you know, at the same time, it's like
it's your right, you know.
He got the vaccine. He got it.
Okay.
Yeah. He's going to get the second one pretty soon. So, you know what? It's not a big deal, you know? And I think, you know, just in terms of the skill set he can bring to this team, I think it's superior to that of a Ryan Poehling, for example.
Okay. And then with the Canadians, I believe it was a 3-year. They just signed him for an extension. You know, do you think, I guess this is something that we've talked about in the past. You know, we see this really depth, talent pool that we have, and then, you know, there's going to be players that are pretty, you know, we would say phenomenal, could be really good in the NHL, never really get a shot because we got so much going on. Like, and you're saying, you know, you're putting 2-3 guys ahead of Ryan Poehling. You know, does Ryan Poehling truly, I guess this is a hot take, you know, does Ryan Poehling in your eyes really have a shot with the Canadians in the next, you know, let's say 2 years? You know, he's got a 3-year contract, you know.
I think he does because of the Habs' like weakness at center, I'd say. Mm-hmm. You know, you have Suzuki, obviously he's going to be your number one guy, Dvorak, you know, your number two guy. But after that, and look, I'm a big fan of Jake Evans, but I just think Poehling has more offensive upside than Evans does. You know, like Evans is going to bring that stingy defensive game, which, you know, it's great. He's going to be like a responsible third line center, and he's a decent option for your third line. And you have Adam Brooks, who is similar to Evans in many regards, but I think Poehling, you know, he has an opening on that third line. It's just up to him to seize it, really.
Right. Mason had said last year's season that he could see Ryan Poehling actually cracking the team faster as possibly being brought up as a winger instead of a center, just because of the depth we have.
I can see it, but at the same time, you look at our depth at wing, you know, we have Toffoli, Caulfield, Drew.
Yeah, it's a lot Anderson, harder now.
Hoffman, Gallagher, Armia's on our fourth line, you know, Perreault, Lehkonen. It's going to be tough for him to make the lineup, you know, as a winger. I think his only path is at center, unless, you know, there's like a couple of injuries. I didn't even mention Paul Byron. You know, unless there's like a couple of injuries and he really shows out while those guys are gone, he has to be a center on this team.
Okay, I love it. Because I kind of sided with Mason after he broke it down to me a bit, but I was, you know, I truthfully think Ryan Poehling, if he's going to make it, he's going to make it as a center, and he's just got to be as dedicated as he can be and really put out, you know.
The thing with Ryan Poehling is you can see the skill set. There's times where he's rushing the puck up the ice and he looks extremely explosive. You know, he's making the right play, you know, but then there's times where his motor is just non-existent. You know, he's not consistent like in his game, you know, like he'll have one shift where he looks really good. And then he'll have like 3 or 4 where he looks invisible.
Right. Okay.
I need to work on that part of the game.
Right. Well, look, we got minutes. We're just about 10 minutes away from a puck drop, you know, game one, you know, we kind of talked about it a little bit already, but as a city of Montreal, since you live there, you know, how does it feel out there right now? I know your side of it. You're just like, come on, I'm just ready to fight a U.S. team. But, you know, your latest tweet was just completely shitting on the Leafs. I love the, it was just a great tweet. If anybody, I highly suggest following him at Caulfield Habs on Twitter. Caulfield Habs too. Sorry about that. It's a great tweet. You got lit up very, very quickly with likes and tweets. But you know, how's the atmosphere in Montreal right now?
I think it's actually kind of mixed, you know, because you know, this team is coming off a finals appearance, you know, so people are kind of like, I wouldn't say worn out from that, but I think people are more like, we made the finals. This is just a regular season game. You know, it's nothing to us.
Right. Okay.
And we're playing a team that we've played damn near 20 times, like, since last year. Another Canadian team, you know, a team with, you know, like, fans that are, you know, I'll say delusional. And look, I'll say this, okay? As much as I think Leafs fans are delusional, I think our fan base is also quite delusional at times. You know, I feel like, and as much as I love shitting on Leafs, because believe me, it's hilarious. It's so much fun. And it's so easy, right? You know, I do think like that that they're going to bounce back this year. You know, to, like Toronto, I think like they've gone through way too much embarrassment. Like if they get embarrassed again in the first round, I'm done. I have no words for it anymore. Like it's like, there's just no way there's no way, you know, but I feel like, you know, as far as the atmosphere in Montreal goes, I think like personally, I've never been less excited for the opening game. I'm not excited. Like, I mean, I'm excited in a sense, you know, because it's like, oh, hockey's back. Caulfield, Suzuki,
but we've Borat, played this team fucking so much.
Yeah, you know, like, and there's a few guys I'm excited to watch on a team, you know, like Caulfield, Suzuki, Dvorak, Romanov, Hoffman eventually. Hoffman, I'm not like a huge fan of, but his release is insane. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm excited to watch Drouin again because I've always been a big Drouin fan. But at the same time, there's also a few things I'm not excited to watch, like you know, Ben Chiarot, for instance. I've been a big advocate of, you know, shitting on Ben Chiarot. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the worst players in the NHL right now. And you know, people when they're like, you know, trying to compliment Chiarot, they always bring up his ice time, you know, and the fact that he played on top pairing with Weber. Well, it was 25 minutes of crappy ice time. I'll say that. And also, we didn't really have a better option. I mean, we did. It's just Ducharme sometimes. I don't get him, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he plays like, I thought Kulak and Weber would be a great fit, you know, because Kulak is like, he brings a, you know, solid defensive game. He's not physical, but he's smart, you know? Mm-hmm. And he obviously brings that puck moving element, you know, like he can rush the puck up the ice, you know, like, and having a guy like that next to Weber, or in this case now next to Savard, would be beneficial. By the way, I just want to say this. Savard Chiarot might be the worst defense pair assembled I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
Because I actually like Savard. I like the Savard signing, but pairing him with Chiarot might be the worst combination I've ever seen.
Right. You think it's because it's two guys that are more blue liners, or you just think Chiarot's just not going to – he's not going to make Savard's entrance any easier with this team?
Well, for one, Savard, he's not a puck-moving defenseman. You know, I think he's like a – I think he's what Habs fans think Chiarot is, you know? Like, if you put him alone, you know, Habs fans in general, you know, they actually like – they don't like Ben Chiarot, but they're like, he's serviceable, you know, he's okay, you know, when, right. You know, Chiarot's terrible, in my opinion, you know, but anyway, Savard, you know, he brings a very responsible defensive game, and he's really good in front of the net, right, which Chiarot is not. Chiarot actually deflects a bunch of goals in his own net, you know, we've all seen it, but I think playing a puck mover, like maybe Romanov or maybe Kulak, although I do like the Kulak-Petrie pairing, you know, because they've been really good in the past. Mm-hmm. I think that would have been the way to go. And I think scratching Chiarot would have been the move. But, you know, he's getting paid 3.5 mil and he has that reputation among the coaching staff. So, you know, they're not going to do that.
Right. Actually, Mason last episode recommended if Ben Chiarot is to play, being down in the third pairing would be the best spot for him. He says there's too much that can be put in the top four that's better than Ben Chiarot. Let Ben Chiarot maybe, you know, help a young, you know, Romanov if they refuse to bring him, you know, any further in the pairings or, you know.
Like, worst case, you know, you can go like Petrie, like Edmondson. Then you have Kulak and Savard, which I think would be a great pair, by the way.
Right.
And then you have like, if you want to play Chiarot, then, you know, Chiarot, Romanov, you know.
Okay.
But personally, I would go Romanov, Weidman. I actually, you know, Romanov, Weidman is interesting because, you know, a lot of people are like worried about that pairing. I saw a few tweets today, like about how that pairing is going to be bad defensively. And, you know, yeah, I can see your point, you know, because Romanov and Weidman are both like, you know, they're both creative guys, you know, with the puck, you know, obviously they're both offensive oriented guys, really, which is weird because Romanov coming out of the gate, I thought he was going to be like very, very sound defensively. But all this guy does is like, you know, rush the puck up the ice and take risks, which I actually love because we need a guy like that. You know, let him make mistakes, you know, and he'll learn and he'll get better along with that. And he's going to be like a player that we're going to need in our top four very soon, you know?
No, I think you're absolutely right. you know, I'd love to have someone like that back in this team. You know, Jeff Petrie does what he can, but yeah. I'd love a youthful player, you know, to go along with the our dreams of the Nick Suzuki and Caulfield, you know, combination. I'd love to have a young defensive man come in and just be stout offensively as well.
Yeah, like I'll tell you what, that guy might be coming. Like, and if the Habs play their cards right, okay. I want to talk about Caden Gooley and Matthias Norlander.
Okay.
Caden Gooley, I was very low on him, you know, like during the draft, and I've been lower on him than most people, but I think he's going to be like a better version of what Joel Edmondson is. And that's good, you know, because I think Joel Edmondson is like, what he brought last year was actually pretty good. I thought he was our most consistent defenseman.
Yeah,
like
he actually turned a lot of people who were shitting on him in the beginning.
Yeah, I was
he played solid.
But before the season, I thought he was going to be a complete dud, because in the past he's been that with, you know, Carolina and St. Louis. But, you know, he proved me wrong, and hopefully he can have a similar year. I think Caden Gooley is going to be like a slightly better version of that. Like, obviously a way better skater. And I think if he keeps developing that part of his game, a better like outlet passer, although he needs to work on like his decision-making sometimes. But I think where I'm really excited is Matthias Norlander, because I think this kid, if the Habs give him the chance, he's going to be a star.
Okay.
And I'm using,
I love that.
I don't use the word star lightly, because I think, you know, star to me is like, you know, really good. You know, like a guy who, like for defensemen, I think in his case, I think he has the potential to like maybe put up like 50, maybe 60 points actually in a season with average defense, which I think is really good. But, and that's, it's a big, big if, okay? The Habs need to bring him along the right way. They can't bench him. They need to put him on the top four. They need to play him on the top power play unit. And they need to just let him do whatever the hell he wants, you know?
Right.
Kind of like what Vancouver does, like with like Quinn Hughes, but like maybe to a lesser extent. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like play him, you know, Norlander, I want to see him play like at least 20 minutes a night, get all the power play time, you know, and just let him do whatever the hell he wants offensively. And just place him with a guy like Savard or something, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Now, yeah. I mean, he's not a defenseman, but kind of like how they brought Nick Suzuki in, you know, Nick Suzuki was literally given every opportunity to heighten his game.
The way they played Nick Suzuki, I think, was to a T, perfection. Mm-hmm. And it's rare to say that, because usually they fuck up.
Yeah.
Sorry for the language. They fuck up when they, you know. Dude,
you good. Don't. Your one F-bomb to my 15 in this conversation is very light, you know?
Yeah, this team brings it out of me, man. I don't know.
It brings it out of Mason, too. But, Michael, man, it's been a pleasure. You know, before you leave, you know, we like to give, I guess, the mic to you guys to promote anything, say anything. Yeah. If you want to shit on somebody, I don't care. But, you know, before we close out, we always like to give you guys a chance to speak. So if you have anything to say, man, go ahead.
Well, okay. First of all, I'm gonna predict who scores the first goal of the year.
I love
it. And I'm gonna say it's Christian Dvorak.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'm taking Dvorak. My username on Twitter is netfromdvorak. Now, look, I love KK, you know, and I still love him. You know, I don't care if he's a game. I think he's gonna be better than Dvorak, but I am a fan of Christian Dvorak. Okay, I'm gonna take him as the first goal scorer. Second of all, wait, who do you have scoring the first goal?
Scoring the first one? I was actually hoping for a little justice with Jonathan Drouin.
I would love that. I think Drouin's going to get the assist on Dvorak's goal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Either way, I just want an exciting, excellent game from Jonathan Drouin. This man deserves it. And I think what we saw in game two in the preseason was hopefully just a blip of today's, you know, like.
Yeah. And also I want to like, I just want to say my podcast, you know, like you guys can look it up at We The North Pod. It's called We The North. My co-host unfortunately can't co-host with me anymore. So I'm looking for a co-host for my podcast. You know, like we're trying to like maybe release one, maybe two videos every week, you know? So if you're interested in like, you know, Habs hockey, and if you're, if you're very opinionated, then, you know, DM me at Caulfield Habs 2 on Twitter. I'd be glad to consider you. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, that was excellent. And, man, we just want to thank you for coming on.
Absolutely.
You know, like I told you before we started, Wednesdays is going to be a lot more guest oriented, and we'd love to have an opinionated Super Habs fan that loves talking shit just as much as we do. But man, Michael, awesome. Has been an absolute pleasure, man. And we hope you have a good evening and you feel a little bit better, man, too. Let's get that get that cold out of there.
Yeah.
Get you excited for some Habs again.
Yeah. Thank you. It was a pleasure being on your podcast. Hope to be on here soon again.
All right, man. It's always a pleasure. Thank you. Folks, I want to thank Michael for coming on the podcast. Be sure to follow him at Caulfield Habs 2 on Twitter. It's a great, great follow if you guys are on Twitter. He is one of the funniest guys around. And be sure to follow his podcast, We the North Pod. That's OUI. Folks, we're going to be heading out of here soon. Game 1 is about to start, and I'd love to catch it before I miss any of the action. But before we go, here's a word from our sponsors over at DraftKings. Another week of the NFL season means another shot to win big at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. The last 0-0 tie in the NFL was 1943. So I'd say this is a no fucking brainer. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total cash prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Throw down a dollar on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only, minimum $5 deposit, a $1 wager required, one per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, folks, we're wrapping things up now. I want to give a shout out to Michael one more time. Thank you so much for coming on the pod. And good luck to Mason, folks. Best wishes out to him passing those midterms. We are drastically getting closer to puck drop, and I need to have a beer in my hand and in front of the television. So we are out of here. This has been Habs Nightly. Thank y'all so much for listening. Always remember to please follow us at Habs Nightly on Twitter, myself at Bayou Benders. And if you guys have 90 seconds to say something to us, maybe it's a question, maybe it's a comment, where it's always welcome. You can find that opportunity at www.habsnightly/speakpipe.com. Leave us a message and you'll hear it on the podcast. That's it, folks. Go Habs. I'll talk to y'all soon.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.